Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents 3 Days in Undead Shoes by D.J. Holmes. Narrated by Freya Ravensbergen and Troy Kane. Chapter 1.
Watch it!
Jane Finch cried, slamming her palm into the horn in the middle of her steering wheel at the same time her foot hit the brake. Breath blasted out of her. Her aged Honda Civic shuddered to a stop, inches from the gleaming silver Porsche Cayenne that had clearly decided red lights didn't apply to fancy cars. Her car groaned. The radio sputtered, and the control panel flickered. Jane cringed. Come on, baby, hang in there. Just a couple more jobs and I'll get you to the car vet. We'll take it easy all the way to the university. The other driver stuck his hand out the window and flipped her the bird. The sleeve of his expensive suit caught the morning sun. A diamond cufflink seemed to wink at her.
Fuck you, bitch,
the dude yelled at her. Then the Porsche's engine roared like something straight out of the Fast and the Furious and shot down the road. Oh, no. Oh, hell no. Sorry, baby, Jane said to her car, pumping the gas pedal and coaxing the Civic back up to speed. The radio warbled. Then the car seemed to rally. She gave the dash a pat. Good girl. Mama's gotta put this guy in the doghouse. Sure, she tried to be a good person. She did. But there were days, and there were drivers, who found the right way to push her button. Given she'd woken up to some truly awful news, today was not the day for someone to push her button. And, as a professional dog trainer and behaviorist, she knew the importance of clear and immediate consequences for bad behavior. Occasionally, she considered it her civic duty to use her skills for the good of society. Today, those consequences were her and her elderly Honda. She fixed her gaze on the SUV ahead. Traffic wasn't bad at 7:30 a.m. on a Friday morning, but springtime on busy 4th Avenue was always a gauntlet of pedestrian crossings, especially now as the world came awake from long months of self-isolation in the response to the COVID-19 pandemic, followed by a cold-ass beast of a winter. The sidewalks already teemed with a mix of university students and West Side moms, clad head to toe in yoga gear and pushing deluxe strollers. No way that dingbat would get far. Pumping the gas to keep her old car going, she took the hill slow and steady. Technically, the Honda was an automatic, but given her baby had started losing power at random, totally inopportune moments, it felt like a standard, one she couldn't shift. Still, the other driver hadn't known that, and she hadn't been stalled. Jane moved into the right-hand lane to avoid the inevitable left-hand turners at the light ahead. Sure enough, there, behind a delivery truck, was the Porsche, trying to force a van with a family of Star Wars stick figure stickers at the back window out of the way and onto the damn sidewalk, right into a group of 3 moms. Typical. So far, this morning had thrown more shit at her than she'd had to swallow in months of isolation. She couldn't do anything about the harsh betrayal she'd woken up to. But this? In this moment, with this Porsche, she could push back. She shouldn't, she knew that. But logic wouldn't win against the impotent anger in her heart. Coaxing the Honda up the steep slope of West 4th, Jane bided her time. The van escaped and 2 Mercedes were allowed to pass without any hint of harassment. Wow, Porsche dude clearly had a weird sense of pack. She caught up to the end of the Mercedes procession, and he must have seen her coming because he jammed the Porsche's nose right in front of her. But this time, she'd been ready. And he had a new red light. Instead of stopping immediately, as he'd clearly expected, she kept going and squeaked the Honda's much smaller hood between the Porsche's nose on the left and the line of parked cars on the right, ensuring he didn't have enough room to force himself in front. Looking up, she offered him a saccharine smile. Slowly, his mouth that had been hanging open snapped shut. His neck turned bright red. He slammed on his horn. The passenger window rolled down and a flurry of cuss words blasted out the window. Why did men think a few bitches and fats would send her into a fit of tears? Oh, she had things worth crying over. Tired insults were not on the list. This douche had nothing on the parental disapproval about to land on her head. Or the fact that she'd just lost a place to live. Giving a tiny wave, she turned up her scratchy radio and embraced the 90s throwback.
Get out of my way, you bitch!
He screamed. Jeez, this guy must have sucked at social distancing. Even with more than 6 feet between his driver's seat and hers, she found herself flinching away from a wave of spittle that glinted in his car.
You should have done us a favor and died in the fucking plague!
The venom in that statement struck her gut. The fact that she wanted to recoil sent fury through her veins. Months of fear and mounting bills and fighting parental pressure had wrung her dry. But damn it, this guy would not be the straw that broke her. She'd made it, and she was rebuilding her business. This morning was a setback, not the end. She pasted on her most unimpressed expression and drawled, Wow, did you spend all day working that one out?
Say that to my face!
He unsnapped his seatbelt. Really? Don't even pretend. He opened his door.
Oh, well, shit.
She hadn't meant to start an actual fight, just not be a doormat. Now what? She glanced at the light, still red, then at the pedestrian crossing. 8 seconds. Okay. Wishing she had a dog in the car didn't help. She moved her left foot to the brake, readied her right over the gas pedal. Shoulders bunched inward. Hands fisted over his groin, he marched around the hood of his Porsche like a poorly socialized bulldog guarding a bone.
Fuck you! You're gonna get out of my goddamn space!
The number 5 flashed in her peripheral vision. She tapped the gas pedal. He reached the center line and headed for her door. Damn! She needed to step off her soapbox and de-escalate the situation. With all her training, she knew better than to let anger take the reins, even if she sometimes failed to stop it. She swallowed her resentment and used her best dog-calming voice. All right, let's take a breath. You tried to push in front of me. It didn't work. We both need to do better. Let's just let it go. Somehow, his neck went from red to maroon. Well, that wasn't good. But 1 second, she'd bought enough time. She let her foot off the brake and pumped the gas as he reached for her door handle. Not everyone had handled quarantine well, and some handled it ending even worse. This is why I train dogs. Given her window motor took an age to work, she didn't bother trying to close the glass. Instead, she smiled and mentally crossed her fingers, hoping her Honda didn't stall on the hill. The light went green, and she hit the gas. Her car cooperated, and a breath rushed out of her in relief. He grabbed for her door handle, but she was already moving out of reach. The C-word was bellowed in her wake. She leaned out the window and yelled, "Try to have a better day!" Anger at herself, and her morning, and the pushy dude with the Porsche, kept her hands steady on the wheel all the way up and over the hill through the endowment lens. And onto the cheapest parking lot available on the university campus. As soon as she parked, her whole body started shaking. She laid her head on the steering wheel and focused on breathing. Oh, Jane, that was dumb. That was really, really dumb. She knew better than to pick a fight with strangers, especially random strangers with obvious anger issues, and over stupid, pointless nonsense. What the hell was I thinking? That life is unfair and I hate being trapped between a rock and a hard place. She sighed, scrubbed away a sneaky tear with the back of her hand. Still trembling, she pulled out her cell phone and opened her messages. Time to deal with the real problem. She glared at the most recent message in her inbox. This morning, her roommate had dropped a bomb on her. No dogs were allowed in their shared apartment, which was total bullshit. They'd agreed when Jane had taken the room that she'd be able to get a dog as soon as her canine training business got back on its feet. What dog behaviorist didn't have her own pet? Then Just when Jane had scraped together enough pennies to buy the dog she loved more than life itself, her roommate had pulled the rug out. She'd gone behind Jane's back and gotten the landlord to ban pets. Betrayal burned the back of Jane's throat. She was so angry, she didn't know how she'd keep the rage from exploding out of her chest, hence her road warrior bullshit. Either she let the dog she loved be given away to people with money, who only wanted him as a status symbol, or she did the one thing she'd avoided through the long, hard months of pandemic: move into her parents' coach house. The judgment, the proximity to her ridiculous father and all his naval tendencies. What admiral had an emergency bunker carved into the cliffside in his own backyard and weekly emergency protocols? Her dad, that's who. But one look at the big brown eyes waiting for her this morning, and she knew what she'd do. Gah, just get it over with. She opened the thread with her parents and sent a single message. You win. I'll take the coach house. She got out of her car and gave the roof a pat. As soon as she'd scraped together her next pile of pennies, she'd get her mechanical baby fixed. Parking paid for. Ouch. She hurried towards the science end of campus. She peered longingly in the window of the Starbucks on her route. Yikes, that was a long lineup snaking out of the coffee shop. Too long. Her act of road stupidity had cost her too much time. Looked like it would be the energy drink and protein bar in her bag for breakfast. Her phone rang as she approached the physics building. Dad, oh man, I don't have time for this. If she didn't answer, he'd panic, probably send out the National Guard. She hit accept. Hey, Dad, guess you got the message. I need you to come home, Pud, he said without any preamble. She rolled her eyes. I just texted you and Mom. I am moving home. No, he said. Right now. The phone line crackled, breaking up her dad's voice. She scrunched her nose at the heavy cement entryway. Cell phones never worked right in this building. Sorry, Dad. You're breaking up. This morning's client seemed to work every waking hour in his lab, so she'd had to agree to holding sessions in his secure end of the campus's newest research facility. A heavy block of thick, mirrored glass and cement. It was expensive, time-consuming, and awkward as hell. She'd have stopped going, but today was different. Today, she convinced him to do the right thing for his dog before leaving the country for some atomic camp in Germany. Look, I gotta go. I can't be late, not for this appointment, she said hurriedly. Sorry, Dad, but this is the big day. I'll call you when I'm done and we can sort out the details for the move. Patience was not her dad's strong point. As soon as he knew something was happening, he insisted on planning every single item, along with a half dozen contingency options. No, Pud, you need to... 1 hour, Dad! She ended the call before the building did it for her and headed for the stairwell. She would not be late for this appointment. Afterwards, she'd deal with her parents and the daunting prospect of moving home. At least her parents would be happy. Months after isolation had lifted, and her dad still wanted her within reach, which meant living on the family property, all the way up the hill in West Vancouver, away from the rest of the city. Ugh, it was so damn secluded up there. At least she wouldn't have to give her traitor of a former roommate half the month's rent anymore. And more importantly, she'd have her dog. Worth it. Chapter 2. Picking up her pace, Jane trotted down the three flights of thick concrete stairs to the specialty labs on the bottom level. Her soon-to-be former client was no absent-minded professor. Dr. Lowry hated tardiness more than anything. The last thing she'd do is give him any reason to refuse to go through with the sale before he left town, because she sure as shit couldn't offer him more money for the dog he didn't want. As it was, she'd been eating pot noodle for a month. A worthy price to pay for her favorite creature in the whole damn world. Reaching the bottom floor, she tried not to drool on the tiny pack of lab assistants who rushed past with paper cup holders full of coffee. Sweet, sweet coffee. Man, she wished she'd been less stupid and more caffeinated this morning. Tearing her gaze away from their drinks, she kept going down the hall. The sheer weight of concrete surrounding her seemed to muffle the sound of her sneakers as she pelted down the corridor. With the students out of sight, the space was empty and quiet and seriously creepy. Honestly, it deserved center stage in a horror movie or some sci-fi thriller. She fought a shudder. 6 months of training, okay, glorified dog walking, and she still felt like she was walking into some modern mausoleum, poised between the worlds of the living and the dead. Between the muffled sounds and the flat light courtesy of square LED panels marching down the middle of the ceiling, this particular Hades didn't have the charisma of the Disney villain. Didn't help that everyone down here was two shades paler than the average West Coast dweller. She didn't exactly understand what the scientists did in this steel-trimmed lump. Something to do with accelerated molecules? What she'd grasped sounded cool, but she'd never had much of a brain for science. All she knew was that it involved energy in a series of honeycombed, reinforced labs built in the former steam tunnels beneath campus. So far, no superheroes had emerged from the rooms, just a bunch of professors and students in lab coats, usually talking about experiments with words that might as well have been Latin. She'd have quit this job on the first day if it hadn't been for one thing. A plaintive cry echoed down the hall. It wasn't creepy. Her heart swelled. A wide smile spreading across her face, she pushed her way through the last set of double doors. There, standing in the middle of the hallway, was a short, tweed-clad man and a giant black-and-white dog. Schrödinger. The only reason she'd kept Dr. Lowry as a client, she shifted her smile from dog to man and felt her expression falter. Arms crossed over his chest, Lowry's face had disgruntled stamped all over it. Had she managed to be late despite skipping a much-needed coffee hit? She glanced covertly at her watch. 2 minutes to 8. Totally good. Huh. Maybe he was actually sad about giving up his dog? Roof. Unlike the human, the Great Dane's mouth parted into a massive, doggy grin. Hey, Ashrody, she said, closing the distance and holding out her hand for the dog to sniff. He ignored the hand and shoved his head straight into her middle, pushing her back a full step. Oof. At 5'6", she wasn't exactly tiny. Still, at 160 pounds, the Dane had a good chunk of weight on her. Being a Dane, he liked to forget how big he was, probably visualized himself as a chihuahua or teacup poodle leaping into her lap. She chuckled and massaged his scruff. Good morning to you too, brute.
Miss Finch.
Lowry made her name a reprimand. Yes? She lifted her gaze from the black and white head in her middle to the professor. Is something the matter, Dr. Lowry? I know you like to start promptly, and I've got my check right here. Forcing a smile, she fished for her day planner in her bag, which had her check and the adoption papers she'd drafted, prepped and ready for his signature. If he was having regret, she wanted to get his professorial scribble on the dotted line as soon as possible. He waved his hand.
That will not be necessary.
Her fake smile wavered. Sorry?
I no longer require your check.
No way.
No way had he decided to simply give her the dog she loved. An invisible hunk of concrete plunged into the pit of her stomach. Beside her, Schrody pressed into her side and gave a low whine. She cleared her throat and met Lowry's gaze through his wire-rimmed glasses. Sorry? She asked again. Her American friends would find it ridiculous to say sorry when you're prepared to bare-knuckle fight for your dog. But in Canada, that's just what came out of your mouth when you weren't sure what the hell was going on. He sniffed.
My fellowship has been postponed. In compensation, my department head has promised me a full-time graduate assistant. Once they start, they'll have time to manage the dog.
Breath rushed out of Jane. The dog. Not my dog, or Schrödinger, just the dog. Like Schrody was an ornament or accessory, something he could put on a new desk and ignore at his leisure. She swallowed hard. Do not yell at him. Do not throat punch him. You need him on side so you can take your dog and not end up in jail. Dr. Lowry, she said, careful to keep her tone gentle, don't you want your research assistant to have time to retrieve articles and, coffee? When no flicker of consideration traveled across his pinched features, she mentally flailed for more reasons. And postponed, that's not canceled. Won't you want to have time to prepare? His brows twitched together.
Why wouldn't I have time?
Well, she drew in a calming lungful and dug her fingers into Schrodinger's scruff. You have told me how Schrodinger eats into your valuable research time. He needs walks, attention. He can't just spend every day in his crate. He waved a hand. Apparently the creature is a positive element for our graduate students. Her jaw dropped. But you don't want him.
Immaterial.
She stared at him. No. No, it's not immaterial. Schrody is a thinking, feeling animal who deserves to be loved. He sucked through his nose, creating a strange, angry whistle.
Miss Finch, after today, I will no longer require your services. You can leave now, or you can complete your contracted job. Either way, you and your attitude are no longer my problem. I have better things to do.
But, anger constricted her vocal cords. He couldn't do this. He couldn't promise her the dog, then take it all away. Jane looked helplessly at Schrody's furry shoulder still pressing into her thigh, then back to Lowry. She blinked, stunned to find the man had already turned away and started toward a group of three graduate students gathered a short distance down the hall. He casually took a coffee from an offered tray and glanced over his shoulder.
You can use the staging lab. Be mindful of time.
An extra cup of coffee sat on the tray. One of the grads stepped toward her, but Lowry waved them back. Maybe some words were muttered. Schrody's head twitched, but Jane couldn't make out anything. Not that she'd have been able to hear much past the rushing in her ears. She'd lost her apartment and agreed to move in with her parents. But all that paled in comparison to losing Schrody. Unable to talk, she used hand signals to direct the dog into the nearest room. He trundled happily inside ahead of her and sat in the middle of the room, his tail making a sweeping sound as he wagged along the cement floor. This dog would do anything for her. It killed her not being able to return the favor. God, he deserved a home that loved him, not a role as some ornament. Tears burned the backs of her eyes. Shit. Any minute now, she'd go to pieces in the middle of this sterile cement bunker. She leaned against the heavy, reinforced door and eyed the steel handle. The staging labs lining this part of the building resembled prison cells, or some kind of self-contained pod worthy of a deep-sea adventure. It sure felt like being in a submarine. Lowry had banned her from locking the door. Apparently, it took a specialty tool and a campus expert to break in once locked. But he could go suck a bag of dicks. She pulled the handle up, taking satisfaction in the solid thunk of the bolt. No way in hell was she going to cry in a place where that dog-keeping asshole could walk in on her at any moment. Backing away from the door, she reached the far side of the glorified box and slid to the floor. A sad filled the room. A giant nose snuffled her hair, then a massive furry body plunked itself onto her lap. She grunted at the weight, but didn't try to escape the lump of Dane compressing her stomach. Instead, she wrapped her arms around Schrodinger and gave up fighting tears. Burrowing her face into his back, she let loose. Another dog might have struggled, tried to get away. Hell, a chihuahua would have bitten her nose. Schrody simply craned his neck around to huff in her hair. Jane had worked with dogs for a decade. Before she'd struck out on her own, she'd cut her teeth with dog daycares and walking services, slowly saving enough money to study with some of the top behaviorists. She loved dogs. She loved making their lives better. But when she'd met Schrody, he hadn't just been another dog with stressed, busy owners. Nope. He'd looked up at her with those soul-deep brown eyes, and something had just clicked. Jane had given up on the idea of instant love and Prince Charming's at the ripe old age of 12. Who wanted to be stuck in a tower or used as a cleaner anyways? But a year ago, she'd had to append her ultimatum. Insta-love happened all right. The moment she met Schrody, she knew. This was her dog. A sob shuddered through her, and she hugged him harder. How could Lowry do this? Sure, his emotions were stunted, but this went way beyond lack of care. Denying a person the dog they loved the morning they came to get them? Damn, that crossed the line from antisocial to sociopath. Think. There had to be a way. Peeling her cheek off Schrody's back, she rubbed his face and gave a watery grin at the way his jowls wiggled from side to side. Help me out, buddy, she whispered. How do we convince this asshole to let me take you home? He shifted out of her lap to a position beside her and puffed out his cheeks. She sighed. I know. It's a lot of asshole to surmount. Aroo! He warbled softly and lowered his head, staring up at her over the long length of his black and white snout. You're just too good, she told him. He doesn't deserve your tolerance. Arrrr! His heavy sigh sounded a lot like a creature from Star Wars. He puffed his cheeks again. Ugh, she leaned against the wall. Think I can teach you to piss on his leg and eat all his papers in the next... She glanced at her watch, winced. 45 minutes? He twitched his scruff in the dog approximation of a shrug. We are not defeated, she rubbed his ears and studied the round, portal-like window in the door. Chances were she wouldn't see any sign of Lowry until the hour was precisely up. Good. That really did give her some time. Not a lot, but it would have to be enough. No way in hell was she walking away and leaving Schrödinger to the fate Lowry had in store. We'll figure out how to do this. You and me, she said. We've got time and a water cooler. I'll load you up and you'll pee like you've never peed. Movement flashed by the window, fast and blurred by the thick pane of glass. From beside her, Schrödinger let out a low growl. Whoa. She glanced at him, stunned he even knew how to growl, let alone find the business end of it. He gained his feet, staring intently at the door. A muffled cry carried through the thick door. Was that a scream? Hard to tell, given the door was designed to insulate the lab from whatever happened beyond. But she took a couple steps toward the door and paused, listening. Scream. Definitely a scream. More movement flashed across the window. A figure slammed into the door with enough force for the hollow thump to momentarily fill the lab. Something splattered across the window pane. Schrody's growl increased in volume, and he stalked to the door. Holy shit! She grabbed his collar and whispered, Wait! Quiet! He froze, his whole body vibrating. Holding her hand up, palm forward, and fingers straight, she silently reinforced the wait command while she inched toward the door at an angle. Shoulder pressing into the door, she leaned over to peer with one eye out the window. Up close, that splatter looked a hell of a lot like blood. Gulping, she searched for more movement for whatever had run into the door. Nothing except... Was that a coffee cup rolling across the floor? It rolled in a loose arc right into... She jerked her head back. A foot. An unmoving foot was barely in her field of vision. Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. Was this a shooting? People must be running from a shooter on campus, and the shooter might be in the building, might be waiting for people to open the labs and try to help. Stupid, tiny window. It was impossible to get a good sense of anything through the scientific peephole. Stomach lurching, Jane stumbled away from the window and fumbled for her cell phone. She wanted to help whoever it was on the ground. She did, but she had no idea where the shooter was or if they were baiting her. Right now, that door was all that was standing between her and a potential lunatic with a firearm. The lock would hold, and she had to follow the building's emergency procedures. 911.
call 911 and... no signal. Damn it.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?